Greetings in Christ Jesus and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, and I'm joined today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are the sharing of God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Pastor Radical, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Very good. Thank you. We'll begin today with a brief devotion led by Pastor Radical.
Yeah, we're looking at Romans 14, verses 12 through 13. The context of this is Paul's writing to those Christians in the Rome area who've been scattered. You know, the word of the gospel was brought to them after Christ rose from the dead, as Jesus sends out in the Great Commission to all the world. And yet, those in Rome are still being persecuted for their faith. And so Paul writes them a lot of encouragement in Romans about justification and then the application of that as well. So as we get into Romans 14, we see how Christians are to treat one another, how Christians are to treat the world, and Paul really lays it in on us as far as how we're looking to Christ and how to live. He died, he rose again, so that we would continue to live for him and not for ourselves, not be judgmental towards others. And that's an important thing to think about when we read these two verses. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I think the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of this in verse 12, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible where Jesus says, yeah, we will give an account before God on Judgment Day. That's what Jesus is talking about through the Apostle Paul here, what Jesus also says in his Gospels, talking about when we stand before the Lord in heaven. The only way we can stand innocent, guilt-free, is with Christ. He is the one who has washed us in his blood, has declared us not guilty, as Paul points out to the Romans in chapter 6 and chapter 3, about reminding us of our sin, about reminding us of our justification in Christ. And yet at the same point in time, he reflects on this application. So we've been set free, we've been forgiven, but now how do we live? Are we to live continuing to sin in the point of the law? No, we're supposed to continue to give glory to God with our day-to-day lives out of our joy and our love for him, for what he's done for us. And so, yes, we give an account for our actions, but as Paul says in verse 13, knowing this, therefore let us not judge one another anymore. So that phrase is used a lot today, as you know, Pastor Nauman, because people say, if they're confronted with any type of sin, hey, you're not supposed to judge me. Look at what the Bible says. But if you think of Jesus' own experience with that, when the Pharisees and the Jews brought the woman caught in adultery to him, he said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. And so really, Paul is echoing what Jesus did there. Resolve this, he says in verse 13, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. That would be to not continue on in sinning, so that would lead other people into sin. So on the one side, we shouldn't judge others as thinking that we're better Christians than them. That's not the case, because we're all guilty and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been redeemed by Christ, from our sin, from death itself, and Christ's victory over the grave. But we are to continue in that sin in an unloving way to lead other people into sin and to disobey our Lord Jesus. So there's a lot of direct application here, but there's a lot of gospel too. We can give account of ourselves to God by confessing our sins and also rejoicing in that absolution, that forgiveness that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. That really can truly remind other people that, yeah, we aren't judging you. We're bringing God's word to you out of love, and we don't want to continue in any sin, whether it be us or someone else, so that we don't lead others into sin as well. Do you ever have any thoughts in this kind of really deep section?
Whenever I meet with anyone, one point I always try to make with anybody that I sit down with is, you know, that I am the worst sinner that I know. And I think as long as we have that attitude, that helps us not to be in that judging position. You know, if I consider the sins of my heart, the sins that nobody else knows about, and I conclude with Paul, chief of sinners though I be, and I recognize that I'm a sinner, that helps me not to be judgmental of anybody. You know, if we recognize that Christ has forgiven all of our sins and that our sins are so numerous, that's going to help us not to judge others and what they have done in their lives either, and recognizing that we're all sinners and we all deserve eternal punishment in hell. That's what the point Paul is making here, is that we do not judge each other or think we're better than others around us, but rather we see that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and that's why we preach both the law and the gospel here. We need the law to show us that we are sinners, and the better I know my sin, the better I see the love that my Savior has for me.
Totally agree. You know, I think direct application of that last comment I want to just make is, you know, if you're coming off and watched the election last night, that can be terribly frustrating because there's so much judgmentalism going back and forth. I just wish that all of us would behave in the sense of humility. Humility. Here's what we did wrong in the past. Here's what we plan to do in the future. That would have simplified the debate a lot more. That would simplify our lives a lot more, owning up to our sin and pointing ahead to Christ's cross of forgiveness and what we want to do to glorify Him going forward. So with those thoughts of what Paul's trying to say here as far as trying to be a good example for others and continue to echo the love of Christ, let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the opportunity to meditate on Your Word. Help us not to be judgmental, but to show that same kind of mercy and love that You've shown to us. Help us to still stand for the truth, stand against sin, but do so in a way that You did, and not condemning, but pointing to Your cross, pointing to that love and forgiveness that we have, pointing to that resurrection from the dead, and pointing to You by glorifying You with our day-to-day lives, and not trying to glorify ourselves or selfish interests. Lord, send us Your Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our faith and to strengthen us in our walk with You until You call us home. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Radical. A number of announcements regarding what's going on here at Emmanuel lately. We've been producing quite a few different opportunities for Bible study, so we obviously have the podcast you're listening to right now. Also, every Wednesday evening, we have our online Bible study, which is continuing through the book of James. That's at 7 p.m. this evening, and the link will be coming out every week as well to that through our weekly email, which we are just starting to release every Wednesday. So we're calling our new email the Emmanuel Memo, which is it'll be coming out every Wednesday around noon, about the same time as the podcast comes out normally. And it'll simply have some updates of what's going on throughout the week. Obviously, we have the weekend bulletin that gives us a lot of information, but we wanted to be able to communicate with the congregation sometime during the midweek as well. So God willing, this email will be coming out midweek every week as well to kind of keep you up to date with what's going on at Emmanuel. And there's a lot going on at Emmanuel right now. So the gym floor has just about been completely ripped out at this point. All weekend we had people coming in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. People came in to volunteer to get that gym floor out. It's just about been completely removed. We filled a dumpster completely yesterday, Tuesday. That dumpster is going to be taken away tomorrow, and a new dumpster will be replacing it. So Thursday, beginning at 4 p.m., we'll have our final push, get everything left that's down there into that last dumpster, and then we'll be able to clean and sanitize the concrete floor that's down there, and then it'll be available for use for our school once again. So thank you to everyone who volunteered to come this weekend. It's really been amazing to see that the congregation rally around this need and this really labor-intensive work of removing that gym floor, but really had a great turnout. I want to thank everybody and just ask anybody who's willing, please show up once again this Thursday for our last push. Thursday at 4 p.m., that'd be October 1st. Wanted to also announce that we have a couple of funerals coming up here this Saturday, a funeral for our member Marlene Fredericks. Marlene passed away back in April, but due to the COVID-19 outbreak, her funeral plans were pushed back until this weekend. So there will be a visitation here at the congregation, or at Emmanuel, from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday evening, and the funeral will take place at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning. Also wanted to announce that a member of our sister congregation over in Eagle Lake, Ken Schmidt, he's the father of some of our members and grandfather of members as well. He passed away this last Sunday. The family is planning for a private family-only funeral, but we continue to keep certainly all of them in our prayers as well. Also coming up this Saturday, we have a outdoor adventure and fellowship day planned at 7 Mile Creek County Park from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. We invite everyone in our congregation, friends and family, to come and join your church family for some outdoor fun. We'll start with a Bible study at 2 p.m. and then there's all kinds of activities to do down there. And so we'll be enjoying the autumn weather on this Saturday. There's hiking, cornhole, there'll be badminton, volleyball, soccer, and of course there's the playground set there as well. So please come and join us for as little or much as you can of that time. And it looks like we'll be having quite a bit of fun. For that time this Saturday. Finally, wanted to announce this weekend is communion, so we'll be doing communion pickup. With that funeral that was taking place this weekend, we're going to try to arrange it a little bit differently. We're inviting our members to please drive through the alley in order to do communion pickup, and we'll be distributing it back by the pastor's office doors. So if you drive through the alley from the school side to the church side, you can come through there, and the pastor or one of us will be there Friday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. And then also Saturday morning, we're changing the time to 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So again, Friday from 5 to 6 or Saturday from 9 to 10, you can come and pick up those communion supplies and register for communion this weekend as well. Lastly, wanted to close our announcements with our prayer list, as we've been doing every week. Once again, Sheila Burgess and Beth Grieve are both at home recovering from their surgeries. We continue to pray the Lord would keep them and give them healing. We also pray for my mom, Desiree Nauman, and Jake Bussey, both of whom are dealing with cancer and treatments, chemotherapy, radiation related to those cancers as well. So please continue to keep them in your prayers. The Lord would give them strength and bless them with the endurance to get through these times, and Lord willing, give them healing as well. And that brings us to our doctrine of the day. So our doctrine of the day today we're going to talk about is Christian liberty. Liberty, obviously, something very important to us in the United States, you know, the freedoms that we enjoy. How would you like to introduce Christian liberty to us today, Pastor?
Yeah, I think using the word freedom, I think, makes sense, too, because the Bible talks about the freedoms that we have in Christ, and that, you know, we're not... Colossians talks about let no one judge you in food or drink or new moon or festivals. Those are all Old Testament shadows of the things to come, substances of Christ. So is our freedoms on which day to worship of the week, you know, our freedoms of how we worship, the style of worship, you know, with decently in order is definitely something the Bible promotes. So these are direct applications of some of that Christian liberty we have. But in context of what we said with Romans 2, Paul says we aren't free to sin, but we are free to live in Christ. You know, when things aren't commanded by Scripture that we have to do in a certain way, we have some of those freedoms. So, yeah, it's speaking specifically to Christians. Unbelievers, non-Bible followers aren't going to care about this teaching or doctrine, but I think it's a challenging doctrine because it's important to think about our brothers with our Christian freedoms. I mentioned we're going through the study of liturgies right now, and there's a lot of different liturgies out there and different types and styles. So we do have some Christian freedoms and liberties on what liturgies we use, but we also want to think about our brothers and sisters in Christ when we pick those things out so that we are encouraging them in their faith and not just simply saying, we're going to do it our way and not yours, and we don't care what you think about it. So there's a lot of love behind the Christian freedoms. We're free to live in a certain way, but we're also, we want to be careful that we're not using those freedoms to hang it over the head of our brother or sister in Christ.
Yeah, good. That ties back into the verse we talked about in our introduction devotion, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. You know, we want to be careful, you know, in the freedom that God gives us, that we are not causing offense. You know, that's a big, that word offense is kind of a big topic in the Bible. And it's really kind of a huge guideline as to how we are to interact with one another and our fellow Christians. And to do so in a loving way, you know, to work with each other and to understand each other and to see where one or the other of us maybe have greater understanding and maybe where we have less understanding. You know, one of the clearer scripture or examples of this in scripture is the eating of meat offered to idols, right? So when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, there was a situation there where some people were buying meat from the marketplace, and some of that meat had been offered to idols and then was being sold. And the Christians bought it and said, well, I don't care that it was offered to idols. It looks like it's discount meat to me, and I just want a good deal on it. And, you know, obviously I'm not supporting the idols, but I'm just buying meat. It's a transaction. But what Paul pointed out is that, you know, if that causes one of my brothers to stumble, I'd rather never eat meat again, you know, than to cause my brother to stumble. And so, you know, you mentioned liturgies, and there's all kinds of examples that we can come up with in our lives that could, you know we are free to do, but that could also cause our brother to stumble. And so we want to be very careful, be very loving in how we treat one another. And that's really what Christian liberty is all about. And so in a way, Christian liberty, even though it's called Christian liberty, is kind of restrictive. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's. I love that you brought up the example of the eating meat to idols. It's really thinking of the other person first. It might be okay for me to do this, but it might not be the best example. Another example would be, so that, let's say I have a friend who's an alcoholic, and I go to a restaurant with him. If I know he struggles with that, I might be free to drink a glass of wine or have a beer. But if I know that's going to cause him to stumble, I would maybe want to refrain from doing that because I don't want to cause him to be tempted to sin. Not that, you know, so there's interesting points there. There's lots of situations where we want to exercise Christian liberty out of love and the freedoms that we have to do certain things that are okay in God's eyes, but not in the sense of harming someone else's faith who might struggle with this particular thing or that.
Yeah, right. You know, I also think about, you know, in connection with that idea, kind of going too far the other way and making laws where God doesn't make law. That's kind of connected with this too. There's always the legend about the pastor who had a confessional pipe on his desk, and whenever a pastor friend of his who was of a different denomination, a church that restricted and said smoking is a sin, you know, even though God's word does not come right out and say that, he never actually smoked that pipe unless his friend came over who said smoking is a sin. And because his friend went so far beyond God's word legalistically to say this is a law where God's word does not say it's a law, he would get his pipe out, and that was the only time he would smoke that pipe, is to make the point that it's going too far to go beyond God's word too. So, you know, in our Christian liberty, we want to make sure we're not infringing on others and making laws where there are not laws, versus on the other hand, you know, not offending people by doing something that they may think is too willy-nilly.
I like the illustration too. I think there's another one where you have the circumcision, Paul, where he circumcised Timothy or Titus. He was showing him that circumcision was not something that was Old Testament requirement that now have been filled by Christ. And so he was trying to make a point to the listeners, to the readers, mm-hmm. whether he had Timothy or Titus circumcised, to say, hey, he did the opposite of what they wanted him to do, to mm-hmm. show them that we weren't bound by this in order for salvation. And so there's a lot of different tangents with this you can go down, but I think the broad picture is, how do you show love for Christ, for doctrine, and for your brother all at the same time? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think Christian, like you said, it's somewhat restrictive because Christ restrains us out of love for our brother, would maybe be another way of saying that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the word restrictive, I mean that in the same way as like the Ten Commandments is restrictive, right? You know, the world looks at the Ten Commandments as restrictive, and the world would look at Christian liberty as restrictive, but for you and I, the Christian, it's something that we do out of love, right? I keep the Ten Commandments not because God's hanging a hammer over my head and he's going to smash me as soon as I break those commandments. I keep the Ten Commandments because of what Christ has done for me, you know, and I see what he's done in his love, and so I, out of love, respond to that. And you know, that also applies not just to my love for Christ and love for God, like the first three commandments explained for us, but also my love for my neighbor and for my fellow Christian, which the last seven commandments explained for us. And so, you know, obviously we never do this perfectly, and we do the best we can, and when we fail, we repent, and we know that God forgives us for those failures as well. Any final thoughts on this topic then? Okay. Why don't we roll into our hymn of the day, Pastor Radical selected for us.
In connection with our devotion and everything we talked about Christian liberty, very simple hymn from the Red Hymnal, 420. It's My Jesus, As Thou Wilt. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 5. My Jesus, as Thou wilt, O may Thy will be mine. Into Thy hand of love I would my all resign. Through sorrow or through joy, conduct me as Thine own, and help me still to say, My Lord, Thy will be done. My Jesus, as Thou wilt, all shall be well for me. Each changing future scene I gladly trust with Thee. Thus to my home above I travel calmly on, and sing in life or death, My Lord, Thy will be done. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast today. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you, and always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.